Well, there's fewer of us here gathered, and you know, when we come together like this, there's sometimes, I mean, we wish that everyone was here, but God works at all times, and he works in different ways, and it's especially, I think, when, at least for me, as I stand here in front of you today, I feel somewhat more intimate. You know, it's like it just is that way. You have a more of an awareness of individuals when there's fewer of us together. And I believe that God plans all things for his purposes, but he wants to also, I think, in his word, especially today, teach us of his intimacy with him. He wants us to know that he is a God who desires relationship with us, right? And sometimes we, you know, depending on who we are more open to that, and sometimes a little less. We may be a little more shy towards that, or we may be a little bit, you know, awkward in thinking about love in that kind of a way, or these type of things. It depends on the person, but God loves us all in each of us in our individual ways. And then the beauty of his design is that we've come together as a church to join together and to share that person that we are with one another, and not to change, but to come as we are and to receive one another and to get to know one another. And it's interesting over time when you look back and you reflect on people that you've known for a long time, just how you appreciate them. Amen. You appreciate people. You may even, you know, not be thinking about people that much, but at some time, and when God puts it on your heart, you start to feel, wow, you know what? I actually really like this person. I really love this person. I appreciate this person. And he formulates these feelings in us for his purposes, you know, and that's the beauty of God, that he takes us together. Grace is back from Poland now. She was away for a long time. She had very exciting trip in many different ways. She'll tell you about it, you know, but she's back here today, and we're grateful to see her, you know, and each of us has different things we're going through, but God brings us into the intimacy of this place today to share himself with us. And that is the way we do that. It's through his word. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in fellowship with one another. He speaks to us through prayer. To be praying for someone is a very intimate way of being close to them. So there's many different things like that at hand here. The scripture that we have today has resulted in this Sunday being known as Transfiguration Sunday. And it's a good thing, because it helps us to draw attention to a very important event that really does speak to us of God's relationship to us, his purpose for life, and his purpose in sending his son here on earth. And I was very moved by this scripture. I have to admit that sometimes when I have read about the transfiguration, there's so many things going on there, and it's so surreal to think that Jesus and the three disciples with him heard the voice of the Father speaking to them on this mountain. You think, wow, that's different, you know, and how do you relate to that, and how do you draw something from that? Well, I think that God has a good word for us today to help us to draw us in to the special relationship that he has for us and desires for us. And also, because he is God and there is sin in the world, to remind us that he has a very important purpose for us as his light in this world. And so it's not only just a reminder of his love for us and a relationship that he has with us and that he is with us, but that he also has chosen us as his people to be witnesses to other people so that they would know him. Right, so let's get into the scripture a bit, right? We talk about this. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And then it says he was transfigured before them, transfigured. not a very usual word for us, right? Well, there is a transfiguration. I guess you could think of some things being that way. But Jesus really was transfigured. His clothing became white, more white than any white than anyone ever see. It was just like glory of God shining from him, and his whole being was transfigured in that kind of a way. Well, in another version of the same story in another gospel in the book of Luke, it actually was talking about how the disciples and Jesus went up to this mountain together, and he was going there to pray. Right. So before all this happened, Jesus was going there to pray. It also says that the disciples fell asleep. Does that remind you of something else that happened when Jesus was praying and the disciples fell asleep? Right. And so they have a tendency towards, you know, falling asleep. And, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it was a very human thing to do, but it did show, the difference between Jesus and them, right? He was there to pray to the Father, and they were asleep, right? But when they woke up, they saw this amazing sight of Jesus transfigured, and they saw Moses and Elijah. Now that's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, to think that they were all this time they had read about, you know, and heard about Elijah and Moses, very important people in the Old Testament. And then at this moment, they fall asleep and wake up, and lo and behold, there are these two prophets, and they must have recognized them, right? I mean, they somehow recognized that it was Moses and Elijah. And in another version also of the same story, it says that Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah. And they were talking about what he was about to do, about going to the cross and the things that the Son of Man, another term for Jesus, that he was going to be doing that and going on that journey to the cross. That's what they were talking about, right? And so interesting, right? Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall to hear that conversation between Jesus and Moses and Elijah? So there's all kinds of things going on here. And when Peter hears and he sees that's what's going on there, he doesn't know what's going on. And so he makes a suggestion, that we read about here. Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. So he's just saying, I'm going to prepare a tent for each one of you, as though they were all on the same level, right? They were all on the same kind of a level there, but there was a difference. And the voice of God comes. And then again, in another version of the same story, there's a cloud that comes down and surrounds them, right? You can read it in the Gospel of Luke, that there's a cloud that comes down and surrounds them. And then this voice comes and speaks, saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Right? And so what I understand here that is happening is that Peter is putting Jesus basically on the same level as Moses and Elijah, and the Father speaks out and says, no, this is my beloved Son. You are to listen to him. You are no longer to listen to the voice of Moses and Elijah as you once did, as though they had this kind of more of an importance in your lives. It's Jesus now who has come. And they have been following Jesus and believe that he was the Messiah, but this takes it to a whole nother level, right? Right? It takes them to a whole other level of understanding who Jesus was. I want to read to you in the book of Second Peter. Peter reflects on this occurrence, and that's the great thing about the Bible. I mean, it's these ancient documents that were found, right, and that were passed down. And here we have an eyewitness account of Peter, who was there on that mountain listening and saying those words, right? Let's build these three different tents there for them. And he speaks about it in the second letter he wrote in the second chapter, first chapter from verse 16. Listen to what Peter wrote. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And so we know now that transfiguration from Peter, who is there, really what the meaning is. We don't have to wonder. He said, I was in the presence of the majesty of Jesus Christ there and that on that mountain at that time. This is not a, I'm not talking to you about all of these different things like somebody who made them up or, you know, he says here, it's not cleverly devised myths in the minds of us. It's not that. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for when he received honor and glory, so Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father at that moment, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, right, of God. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the dawn comes and the morning star rises in your hearts. Right? It does not come from our interpretation. There's nothing prophecy or anything could do. It is this eyewitness of Peter who was there at that moment on that mountain with Jesus Christ, and he heard about this. And so God was really setting the record straight. He was pronouncing and saying, this is my beloved Son, yeah, right, with whom I am well pleased. There was another time the voice of God was heard. Do you remember that? At the baptism of Jesus Christ, right? And so there is this time when God comes in that glory and makes a connection. Think about it for a moment. Would God, if God were to speak right now and you heard a voice like that, the amazing feeling that would be and this, the sense, you know, of God's presence in your life. It was also awe-inspiring because in the other version of this story, but in the other gospel, it said that the disciples, right? And we read here too, also that they were terrified, right? They were terrified. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified, right? Terrified because they heard this voice coming and there was a cloud that surrounded them. Right. And it was just this momentous thing that they were a part of in that time. But what does Jesus do? Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Jesus was there with them alone. And so the thing that I really feel that God wants us to pay attention to, it's actually a couple of things. First of all, to realize that there is a God who is mighty and he instills fear, right? His presence is greater than anyone can ever imagine. It would do well for the people in our world, for us to have that sense of awe and fear of God, to fall down before him. That's what the great prophets did, like Daniel, right? Right? When they met with God. But guys, this is so important for us to do. You know, we get so tied up in everything and we have these kind of, you know, these thoughts that take us, you know, in different directions in life. And we also feel like, well, you know, I'm saved. I was baptized, so I'm saved. I can go on with my life. And now I'm with God and he's with me. But there's a very healthy way to live a life after you've been baptized, which is to know that you have a fear, an awe before Almighty God. Right? We need to have a healthy understanding of who it is that God is, right? That we are, that he is the creator of the universe. Right. And this, and it came at that point, and Peter needed to hear that, and the other disciples needed to hear that, right? That this is not just a man. This is the Son of God, right? With whom I am pleased, right? And I have sent him into the world. I have sent him into the world, right? To die on the cross. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. Right. It made a tremendous impression upon Peter. We just read that he wrote about it in his letter to tell people that I knew at that point that this was the majesty of Jesus Christ at hand. This is the greatness of Jesus Christ at hand. This is not the man that we just thought was coming to save us and to be our leader here on earth. He is the Son of God. And that is what we need to also realize in the voice of God speaking to him, that we have this healthy fear of God to know that we have to live our lives in obedience to him. We need to do that. We have to take it to heart. And we need to also tell people, right, about these things. We'll get to that in a second. But let's focus again on this second part here, right? With the wrath of God at hand, right? It's this voice of God. And I say wrath of God in a way that he was teaching them and showing them in his greatness who Jesus was. And he needed to make that point to show them their weakness, to show them, you know, that they were a creation of him and they needed to honor him, right? But at the same time, he was coming and saying, this is my son. This is my son that I sent for you, right? Listen to him. And so what does Jesus do? He comes in that moment and he intercedes for this mighty God who could have taken their lives in an instant, right? For their sinfulness. And Jesus comes to them and touches them and says, get up, don't be afraid. Right? Rise and have no fear. And I really believe that this is at this moment we are learning just who Jesus is. He's not this Son of God who goes up to the mountain and says, see how great I am. I'm going to be with the Father forever. See you later. Which he could have done. And I've had enough, you know, people saying you're nobody and you're this, you know, fake Messiah and all these things. But he doesn't. What does he do? He goes to the disciples. He touches them, he restores them, he encourages them and says, you don't have to be afraid. I am here with you. And what does he do from there? He walks down the mountain with them to continue his life here on earth with them. That's amazing. That is beautiful. That is our Lord Jesus. To come, and he said, I'm coming now to return from this mountain where we saw all this glory, where we witnessed the greatness of my Father, where we saw these prophets of old that people had followed and had been listening to for all these years. And now I am here and I have a purpose, and it's to love you and to show you I'm going to come back and I'm going to follow up on what God has sent me to do. And I'm going to go to that cross. And I'm going to die for you. That moves my heart. That Jesus would, that he is there, that he's with me. You know, have you had a time in your life where you felt away from God? And Jesus is there right with you. Do you ever think about that? You're not alone in those moments where you're feeling like, God, I don't want you. And I'm going my own way and I'm doing all these things, but Jesus is there with us. Right? And he's pleading to God for us. He's interceding for us. He gave his life for you and me. And he's showing us and teaching the disciples what it means to be a disciple, that we don't leave each other, that we're there for one another, that we go through this walk with one another, that we learn from Jesus, that we listen to his voice, right? That we endure the things that are hard to endure because Jesus did for us, right? That is our Lord Jesus, and that is his message for us today, right? In this moment that he took these men up to the mountain with him. He didn't go alone to see the Father. He did things with the disciples. He took them under his tutelage, under his teaching, under his leadership. And he showed them the Father. He showed them what life is about. He showed himself to them. He revealed himself through this experience to them. And we do well to understand that is also what we are to do as well. We are here for people's sake, not our own. We are here for the good of others, to share life with one another and the fellowship of a church. Right? Individuals coming together, like I was talking about, we all have our own ways. We all have our own, you know, weaknesses and strengths, but we all are equipped with a gift from God to use and to bless one another with. Right? So it's very important that we understand that we're not getting that on our own. Okay. Don't ever think that the things that you possess in your life, no matter what it is, comes from your own doing. It is from God who loves you, gave you a life and gave you those things so that you can use them to bring him glory. And it doesn't matter what you do. I was thinking about today, this is a little bit, I think the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this, and I was really just considering Richfield Park and places where I lived and my whole life through, you know, where I was. And the people that I, you know, did you ever have a thought like this one that it could be the most simple thing, like a store or maybe a school, or maybe it was something in the neighborhood, or it's funny. Sometimes I just think about these, it's not a really beautiful town, you know, that we live in, but there are things that are a part of my daily routine. I have driven down these roads. I have taken my kids to the school. I've dropped them off, Lee Chan too. So we go through we drive to work, and there are things along the way that we see that become a part of our existence, and we see these things and we reflect on it, you know, and start to think about, okay, so, and I go here to shop, and I, you know, and this is my neighborhood. This is where I'm from. These are the things that I relate to. But I was just thinking today that those are from God. Right? It isn't like I have some kind of an appreciation of those things, but God has planned for me to be exactly where I am. And it applies to here too. And you could live in a place that people make fun of, like New Jersey. I mean, really, people do make fun of our state a lot. I don't know if you know that. But I have a problem with that, because God has put me here, right? He has placed me here, and I know you. And there's things that I look forward to when I see you, and when I hear you, the way that you laugh or the way that you talk, or there's things, you know, and then it extends also even more so probably when we endure some kind of an issue or problem. And then you are like, okay, well, we got to fix that. No, it's not that. It's that we go through that together. Jesus went through that with his disciples. He's building inside of us kingdom values, eternal values, ones that do not end, things that are in comparison to what the world offers us. But in it doesn't matter if I'm going down a street where I grew up in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, named Midland Avenue, and I still remember the trees on that street, and I remember my neighbors, and I remember all these things, but they are a part of the life that God has given to me, and I rejoice in it. And there were also very, very hard times that we endured as children in our family. Many, many things that we did not appreciate, because we were young and foolish, and we didn't know how hard it is to be parents. But God in his grace was with us, and Jesus was with me, and he's with you, and he's never going to leave you. And he's going to welcome you into heaven. And so you see, we're living in a world where people are pointing the fingers at Christians and making up all these kind of things about the ones that believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't understand, because they don't take the time to really look at who we are. That we are sinful people who, by the grace of God, have come into the knowledge of the true Son of God, the Savior of the world, so that we would be restored and made whole and have a life of hope. And if they would take time to speak with one of us, we would say, my life is not all roses, but I know the rose. And he loves me. And I'm going to listen to him. Isn't God wonderful to all the things that he has given to us? I wanted to share something. Also, I talked about the fact that we have to listen to him, and that comes with a lot of different explanations. I mean, there's a lot in that. If you want to have a good discussion, you could talk about what does it mean to listen to Jesus. Well, I think that God was saying to him, yes, you need to listen to Jesus now. It's no longer Moses and Elijah, but you have the real God, the real true God, the Son of God there. You're to listen to him because he knows best for you. But I think also what Jesus was teaching them were kingdom values, and also the gospel, which leads to eternal life. And people need to hear that. And so they needed to listen about that and to understand what that meant, and then to share that with other people. And that kind of obedience is not always easy, right? It's not always easy to say, I'm going to take this now and I'm going to go to complete strangers and I'm going to share that gospel with them. Anyway, there was a chapter from a book that I was reading, and this man was very, very famous, Richard Foster. Let me find it here. And I just wanted to share what he wrote because I think it's helpful too in this way. He said, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, you know Mother Teresa? She was a nun who lived in Calcutta many years, living among the poor. She said this, pray for me that I not loosen my grip on the hands of Jesus, even under the guise of ministering to the poor. And then Richard Foster said, that is our first task, to grip the hands of Jesus with such tenacity that we are obliged to follow his lead to seek first his kingdom. Now, this is a woman who's known as a saint, someone who really lived out what Jesus said, you know, in a real way, you know, going and giving up everything and living among the poor and living as the poor, becoming poor, becoming one with them. And yet she said, pray for me that I don't loosen my grip on the hands of Jesus, even under this work, this guise that I'm ministering to the poor. So in any situation, no matter what it is, it's still a temptation to loosen the grip on Jesus. So we have to remember that. That's a very good word from her, right? To pray, God, help me not to loosen my grip on your hand. He said, this is the first task. And then the second step, the second task is so simple, I'm almost embarrassed to mention it. And yet it's so important that I must. This is it. Begin now to obey him in every way you can. Begin now to obey him in every way you can. And so we need to hold on with great tenacity to the grip of Jesus in life, because we are prone to wander. It's very easy for us to do that. And the second thing is to obey Jesus in every way that we can. And I believe that that gives a good explanation of listening to him. One of the other things that was mentioned in a wealth of different writings from people, they have this in common, that we oftentimes avoid prayer with God because we do not want to hear what he has to say to us. Right? And meaning he may be demand, and he will be demanding something from us, because there isn't any other way. You see, we could live a life of smelling the flowers and just talking about how, you know, things in a very general way are of our Christian faith, or we could really take to heart what Jesus is calling us to for the benefit of knowing what true life is about. And that is to free ourselves from the shackles of sin that bind us, and to let go of that and to serve others, sharing the good news. And so I believe that Jesus here is encouraging us in this scripture today to show that, yes, there is a healthy fear of God needed in our lives. And we need to understand who God is, and we need to understand who we are. But then also to understand that Jesus is with us and that he's touching us and he's telling us, don't be afraid. I have died for you and I've risen from the dead and I have life eternal for you. Right? And so we want to draw into that presence of Christ who speaks to us that way. Hold on to his hand with a tight grip. Right? Pray. And then obey him in every way we can. Amen. And most of all, be thankful for your life. Be thankful that God cares enough about you that he has something for you to do for him. That he has a purpose for all that you are. Every bit of your beauty and the goodness that you possess in him. And don't be afraid to share that with others in your life. In whatever way that God chooses, in whatever way that he has designed you for, share yourself and walk with others, representing Jesus, and bring them into his light. Amen. Let's say a prayer together, and then we will sing a song in response. Father, thank you for this scripture today that reminds us of your nearness. We praise you, God, for your power. We praise you, Lord, that you are almighty and that you have created this earth. And we thank you, Father, that despite the fact we have disappointed you and sinned, and you have every right to end our lives, you have given us life as a gift through Jesus. And so we pray, Father, today, that if there's someone here who's struggling in their life, that they would be encouraged by knowing that your grace is sufficient and that you desire for them to know you in a deeper way. Help us to give up those things in our life that are causing us to let go of the grip that we have of your hand. And help us to renew that grip today. And help us, Lord, to obey Jesus in every way that we can. And Lord, each of us here has someone on our heart who needs Jesus. Lead us in the way that you desire for us to speak with them so that they may also know you and be saved. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.